This past April, Tiara Noblin's 5-year-old daughter was having a bad day.
She was really restless. She was really angry.
Nayel had been adjusting to life without a routine ever since the pandemic shut her school down. And as a kid with autism, as a kid period, she was struggling.
It was just, I want to go to school. I want to get on the bus. I miss my friends. Why are we home? You know, and I'm like, we can't go to school. And then her mind is like, well, the building is right there. What do you mean we can't go in?
Tiara tried all her tricks, like speaking calmly to Nayel, rubbing her back, holding her close. But the tantrum just got worse.
Oh, it's a full body on the floor, flailing, just screaming, crying. It was kind of heartbreaking, you know, because you can see like her heart was hurting. She just didn't understand.
Meanwhile, Tiara needed to get back to her computer to work. She just started her dream job and was in the middle of training during this tantrum. She felt like she was having a crisis of her own because there was nobody else who could help. Tiara is a single mom, and now a month into lockdown, she was home alone with her two daughters 24/7.
So I got down on the floor with her and was just like, you know, it's going to be okay.
That morning, she had set up her whole workstation at her kitchen table, her computer, her notes, her to-do list, but it all just sat there untouched.
And of course, I had to meet with my supervisor, and I forgot that I had left my Zoom up. And so she came on, so she's hearing everything.
Oh, my God. The screaming, the crying, the toys flying everywhere. Tiara's boss had heard it all.
So finally she yells and she's like, hey, I'm here, you know, just to let you know, I hear everything. I'm so sorry. Don't worry about it. Send me an email on a day that you think you can do it, right?
Oh, like, whoa. How were you feeling knowing that Zoom was on the whole time?
I mean, honestly, with everything that I've been through, I didn't really care. You know? It was just like, hey, this is my life.
I'm Rima Reis, and welcome to This is Uncomfortable, a podcast from Marketplace about life and how money messes with it. The pandemic has been brutal on working moms. In September alone, almost 900,000 women left the workplace. That's 4 times the rate that men did. The numbers can be hard to wrap your head around, but behind them are real human experiences. And this week, we hear some stories from working moms navigating the pandemic. A few months before that tantrum, Tiara remembers sitting at her desk. At the time, she was working in Boston as a case manager for a healthcare organization.
It was a tough day. I was already like 2 seconds from like throwing my whole desk over and like walking out like I'm quitting, you know?
Tiara wanted out of her job. She had a high school senior and a 5-year-old at home, and she needed to make more money. Then that afternoon, she got a phone call.
And I'm thinking it's a client. So I'm like, hey, you know, this is Tiara. How can I help you?
It wasn't a client. It was a hiring manager. A couple of weeks back, Tiara had stayed up until 1 in the morning applying for a healthcare coordinator position. She thought it was a long shot. She knew most people in these positions had bachelor's and master's degrees, and she'd never finished college. So now, on the phone, she was trying to not get her hopes up.
And I said, oh. Okay, what's going on, right? And so she was like, so I'm just wondering, like, how soon you can start. Like, I wanted to jump up and, like, scream.
But she wasn't going to do that around her coworkers, so.
I bolted out to my car, screamed in my car. I was like, oh, my God, I did it, I did it, I did it, I did it.
Tiara would be making exactly what she'd asked for. $50,000 a year, almost a $15,000 increase in salary. Immediately, she thought of her two kids. And like, what were you thinking practically that would mean for your daughters?
I didn't have to tell them no. That's really what it was. I didn't have to tell them no. It was just like, oh my God, I can actually pay all my bills in the full amount and still be able to take my kids out on a fun outing. If my kids wanted McDonald's every day, I can do that. Like, mm-hmm. let me see if I can like now start taking my kids on vacations and stuff. Like, yeah, let's do this, you know?
Tiara told me it felt like more than just a new job, because since graduating high school, she'd struggled financially. She says she had her first daughter at 17, been homeless, and when she got her own place for the first time, she ended up getting evicted. Now, she felt like she had climbed her way out of a lifelong hole.
Sometimes, you know, you have to go through these experiences to realize how strong you truly are, or like your capabilities in itself, right? Mm-hmm. And so when I reflected back on that, I was like, girl, if you can come from, it's kind of like Drake's song, right? Like, you know, you start from the bottom, right?
Start from the bottom, now we're here.
Started from the bottom, now we're here, right? Started from the
bottom, now we're here. As she drove home that day, Tiara blasted that song. Started from the bottom, now we're here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team in. Started from the bottom. Tiara started training for her new job in February of this year. And then, just 3 weeks later, she became one of the millions of Americans suddenly working from home. Public schools across Boston shut down, and just like that, she and her two daughters were home all the time.
And at first, you know, it did seem like it was doable because, you know, for us, we were like, oh, yes, we can be home, we can relax, we can, you know, take it easy in a sense for a little bit.
Right. No more endless searching for a parking spot near her office. She could make her work calls on her own schedule, lean into that flexibility. But about a month into this new life, her 5-year-old daughter was done with it.
She, of course, started acting out a little bit. So now I'm taking more time, not just being chef and mom at home, you know, because the kids are home, but now, oh, snap, now I'm dealing with these behaviors.
Nayel was having tantrums, like the one at the start of this story. And as a kid with autism, she can get really upset about breaks in routine. So soon enough, Tiara was trying to fit in her work during the few pockets of time she had to herself.
I would wake up like 6-7 o'clock in the morning, and I would make my phone calls right then and there while the house was quiet.
Once her daughter woke up at 9, Tiara would try to wear her out at the playground, then make a few more calls when she napped at home.
So then I would be up all night typing my notes. I wouldn't go to bed until 3-4 o'clock in the morning to get up at 6-7 o'clock, right?
Tiara was supposed to be learning about how to help her patients work through the maze of their insurance policies and make sure they got the care they needed. But before long, she was rescheduling her supervision meetings with her boss, missing phone calls, missing deadlines. In other words, before she'd even got a chance to prove herself, she was coming up short. Well, how were you doing your job? At like what points?
Oh, I wasn't. You know, I really wasn't.
And of course, her boss noticed. By May, Tiara was trying everything she could think of, taking phone calls at the playground, asking her teenager to help. But without a set routine, Nayel's needs and Tiara's desperation were mounting side by side.
She was like kicking on my doors because I had locked my doors. So I'm like, you know, so I can have a quiet moment. She's like kicking, she's screaming. And of course, my client hears it. She was like, oh my gosh, you know, it's okay. Like, go ahead, go tend to it, you know.
May turned to June, and Tiara was reaching her breaking point. She was snapping at her kids.
It would be like, oh my God, like, what do you want now? Like, just go somewhere. Like, I need some place to, you know, like, I need quiet. Like, just give me 5 minutes, you know. Here's YouTube. Here's your toys. Figure it out. Mm-hmm. If you still want these lights and this internet and all of that, let me do this, you know.
And at work, she was barely getting by.
There was no way that I could keep this up and still be a good mom. There was no way that I could keep this up and still be a good employee.
On June 12th, Tiara's supervisor asked to speak with her. But her daughter, Nayel, was having another rough day.
So I was like, you know, can we have supervision that next day? And of course, she was like, no, I'd rather have supervision today.
Tiara braced herself for what she knew was coming.
And I had already had this speech set up like, yeah, this is not working. You know, thank you for the experience, yada, yada, yada. But she beat me to the punch.
As gently as she could, Tiara's supervisor let her go.
I didn't want to give up that job. I had finally made the income that I needed and wanted. I was finally building my savings back up. Like, life was comfortable. Life was good. And so then it was just like having to give all of that up.
It's been a few months now, and Tiara is still unemployed. She'd managed to save up about $4,000 before she lost her job, but all of it is gone now. Luckily, she's in subsidized housing, and to save money, she canceled her cable, and lately, she and her daughters have been eating mostly pasta, chicken, and rice.
Now that Christmas is coming, and I'm like, okay, how can I do this? Because even $50 pretty much takes up everything. So, like I told my oldest, I said, you know, Christmas may be a little skimp this year.
Tiara has been in tough situations before, and she feels like the pandemic has her walking a financial tightrope all over again.
Like, you know, if an emergency came up, something, obviously I can't pay for something. Like, what is going to have to go? What are we going to have to go out with? And that's the scary part, because I don't want to go without anything. Like, it is definitely one crisis away from losing everything.
Tiara isn't sure what's next for her and her family. Right now, she's on unemployment and figuring it out. Thinking back on it, she wondered if she'd messed up everything she had worked for.
Initially, yeah, I felt guilty. It was definitely that thought of like, oh my God, did I just mess up my kid's future after I just got to a good place? Did I mess up my own future after I got to a good place?
But she's become sure of one thing. When it comes down to her work performance versus her family,
it was almost a no-brainer. Like, I would definitely pick my family over a job anytime. I did the best that I could. I did everything that I could. At the end of the day, I'm honoring myself and what exactly I am capable of doing. And if I had to choose again, I'm going to choose my family.
And, you know, there's a paradox at the heart of this. Tiara chose to take care of her family, but to do it, it meant sacrificing a job that promised them security. It's a no-win situation. And right now, Tiara is one of millions. Parents all around the country are running on fumes trying to balance work and kids. And while no parent has it easy, working moms have been hit especially hard. The consequences of that, after the break.
Hey, do you want to have matching masks today? Today we can actually do it there.
Yes. All right.
So my days start really pretty early. My alarm goes off at 5:20 and then I get the ball rolling.
We asked working moms, how have things been since March, since the pandemic started?
We rarely have moments without our children. I mean, we realize even when we walk the dogs, they're with us.
What do you think my day looks like?
I think I see you work, I see you in a meeting, I see you work again, and then work again.
They interrupt me quite a bit when I'm teaching from home.
Work, work, work.
It doesn't matter what's going on, there's just a lot to do, and the house is always a mess.
I think the hardest part of juggling right now is just that I feel like I'm responsible for so much.
For some, this time has really shifted priorities.
I just care less about this job than I used to, because it doesn't matter as much as my family. And that makes me sad because I used to take so much pride in my work, but now it feels more like a means to an end.
For those in partnerships, it's also brought up new tensions.
My relationship with my wife, her day-to-day hasn't changed like mine. Sometimes it's hard for her to understand why I'm so drained. I don't have the energy to be as outwardly loving and caring. I mean, it's just all used up, taking care of everyone.
Like, I thought my husband, because he didn't have a job, I was like, great, he's going to take over this, the online school for our daughter and it's going to be wonderful. But super quickly realized that that was just not going to work.
Inevitably, a lot of those things fall on my shoulders. So it's just more stressful now.
But there have been some silver linings.
My kids are actually getting to the age where they're a little bit more independent, which is really nice.
Something I've learned about myself through all of this is that I'm strong and resilient.
I'm stronger than I thought, but I'm also more capable of being more exhausted than I thought.
Parental roles have been ingrained in us for, well, forever. Men have been told, hey, you need to be the providers, while women have often been pushed into the role of primary caretaker. And though we've been moving away from these stereotypes, researchers worry that the pandemic could undo the progress we've made. Because for the women who don't want to leave their job or simply can't afford to, it means they're constantly having to negotiate between their work and home responsibilities. And at some point, you'd imagine, something's got to give.
Some of the things that have been really difficult is I don't really have any give. Oh, one second.
Is that your daughter?
It's not. Yes, you can put it down and you don't have to eat it.
That's Amy Knopf, another mom I talked with. And she's also part of a research team that's looking at how moms are being impacted by the pandemic.
That's fine. Do not slam that. Okay.
What was she asking for?
She was displeased that I gave her the wrong type of peanut butter.
So it sounds like you have almost three jobs, mm-hmm. like managing your child's school, you know, taking care of your child, and also your job.
Mm, that's correct. Yeah.
Do you have time for yourself?
Not really. Whatever I really can't accomplish during the day gets moved to the time after I put my daughter to bed. Last night I worked from 9 p.m. until 2 in the morning.
Wow. And so during those nights, like those late nights, you've been working mm-hmm. on this research, right? Which is exactly on this topic.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very meta.
Right. Exactly. I was going to say it's super meta.
The research Amy is working on is part of a study from Indiana University. It's a survey of more than 250 moms in Indiana that actually began as research on motherhood in general, but in 2020 became more of a comprehensive look at what the pandemic is doing to motherhood. And I should note that the majority of women in Amy's survey are white and in heterosexual relationships. And if there's one big takeaway, it's that right now, many of those women are dealing with conflict in their relationships. In fact, Amy says they saw a nearly 40% increase in reported tension between couples, which is in line with national polls. And that's tension over everything from COVID safety measures to who's taking care of the kids. Like, one of the most shocking findings, in my opinion, was how much childcare working moms had to do, even when their partners weren't currently working. For example, Amy told me about this one participant from their survey, Vanessa.
And she was working full-time, but her husband was using paid time off from his job, so he didn't have any work responsibilities.
Vanessa told researchers that her husband would interrupt her workday constantly with questions or let their daughter interrupt. That was especially tough given that she's a mental health counselor, so her meetings have to be absolutely confidential. Like she told them about this one time.
She was seeing a client for a mental health visit and her daughter just walked into the room during the session, which, you know, was sort of embarrassing and horrifying for Vanessa. And it just left her really frustrated.
Vanessa says she ended up yelling at her husband, then regretting it. Amy pointed out that there were plenty of partnerships in their study where couples were able to find a balance. But some moms in the survey even cut back their work hours or left their jobs altogether just to keep the peace. And according to the Census Bureau, a third of working women who are now unemployed said it was due to childcare demands.
For me, the biggest takeaway is the extent to which women are blaming themselves for their frustrations with their partners, for their stresses with their children, for their perceived failures at work and at parenting.
Yeah, they're more likely to blame themselves and not the pandemic. And the moms in the survey were turning to a whole bunch of different things to cope, from leaning more on their friends, family, and therapists, to increased alcohol use and antidepressants. And one of the big consequences of all of this is that when women drop out of the workforce,
we know that these gaps in work experience affect your ability to resume your career.
Like, the longer you're out of the workforce, the harder it can be to stay competitive, to get promotions, to maintain professional contacts. According to one study, more women leaving their jobs could mean that the gender pay gap grows even larger.
The real story for me is the extent to which women are not told that structural issues are, in fact, what is happening. This is not a personal failure.
Structural issues like the lack of affordable childcare, unequal pay, little to no paid maternity leave, and just plain sexism.
Our society is not structured to support women and to support mothers and to support families.
Amy actually emailed me the evening after this interview. She told me she'd made some cookies with her daughter, and she found herself doing that thing that so many moms in her survey did, being self-critical. Like, that night, she was blaming herself for not buying the right ingredients, and she worried that her daughter would notice or be upset. Instead, her 7-year-old told her the cookies were great and that she should be a professional baker. She says it was a nice reminder that being a mom doesn't mean being perfect. All right, that is all for this week's show. If you have thoughts on this episode, or if you're a mom yourself and want to share your own experiences, you can always email me and the team at uncomfortable@marketplace.org. Also, you can sign up for our newsletter if you haven't already. This week, it is Hanukkah, and so we've got some ideas to take your latkes to the next level. Plus, our team shares our favorite podcasts of the year, you know, besides this one. You can sign up for that at marketplace.org/newsletters. This is Uncomfortable is me, Rima Jerez, Megan Dietrich, Haley Hirschman, Peter Balanon-Rosen, and Camila Kerwin. Our intern is Daniel Martinez, editing by Michaela Bly. Tony Wagner is our digital producer. Drew Jostad is our audio engineer. Sitara Nieves is the executive director of On Demand. And our theme music is by Wonderly. All right, I'll catch y'all next week.
How would you describe it? So if you had to describe it anymore.
It's more like work, 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 something, and then work, work, work.